Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week. My name is Andrew Ray, and I'm joined by
Tim Lane
and his sidekick, David Pollison.
And how are you guys doing? Any news you'd like to share?
Oh, let's see. We stay busy around here. We've had a really busy, productive summer. Our year tends to revolve around an academic calendar, fall to spring. But we've made concerted efforts this summer to keep the ball moving forward, and we're working on different initiatives, continuing to plan for future national conferences, lots of good things. So, yeah, a lot of things are happening. Very encouraged.
What's an initiative?
Something that you'd like to do, but you need money to do.
Nice. David?
We're in the summer, end of the summer, and this has been a summer with a lot of writing projects for me. The one that I'm just wrapping up has been a tremendous... I've had a tremendous pleasure doing it. It's on spiritual warfare. There's a four views book on spiritual warfare that's in the works from a publisher, and I've got one of the views, and have really, really enjoyed working on that. A lot of hard work, but it's gone well.
All right, we're going to jump right into our three questions segment. Here we go. Question one, what's your favorite tree?
I picked two.
I did too.
The American,
let's see if they're the same.
The American elm, which is there's something you still see them occasionally, though the Dutch elm disease did a lot. But they are heart stopping. And then the sugar maple in October it's like watching nature on fire.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mine are two that are a little different. One is the dogwood, just because of its beauty. And then I'm a southerner, so. A scrub oak, but for metaphorical reasons, it's kind of a picture of spiritual growth. If you know anything about a scrub oak, in the winter it dies, but the leaves stay on the tree. You have dead leaves on the tree, and the only way that those dead leaves are removed is in the spring when the tree starts to grow again, and those dead leaves fall off and are replaced by fresh leaves. So I see that as a picture of spiritual growth. Oftentimes, the way growth and grace happens in our lives.
That was deep.
It was.
Tim is so theological, I find.
Well, I find theological meaning in everything that I view.
I'm sure. So which do you use more often, the dictionary or the thesaurus?
I'm going to give you a very complicated answer, Drew. I have a book by a man named Frederick March, and it's long out of print, and it's both. And it is a phenomenal resource. Mm-hmm. It's a dictionary that breaks out into thesaurus sections, and as one who does a lot of writing, it has been a tremendous resource. I found it on the 25-cent shelf at a library once because it's many decades out of print.
Yeah, you stumbled on it, or
stumbled
you were looking
on it.
For it?
No, I never heard of it, and it's been so long out of print, and stumbled on it, and I have used it regularly ever since I found it, maybe 8-10 years ago.
So, can I be a writer like yourself if I read it?
You can try.
Yeah, I'm not as old school as David. I just rely on Microsoft Word's spelling check and thesaurus and dictionary. I do have a dictionary on my iPad that's connected with my Kindle account, and I looked at it for the first time last night. And I looked up the word thistle. I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
That's the only time I've ever used it.
What is a thistle?
I don't remember.
Okay. What's the most memorable class you've ever taken?
For me, it's really clear. It was my senior year in college. I took a course called Religious Dimensions of the Modern Novel. I was a non-Christian. We read Dostoevsky, Faulkner, Kafka, Graham Greene. And that course made Christian terminology and language connect to what life was about. And issues of good, evil, sin, grace, redemption. Those have just been religious nonsense syllables to me, and that literature was the place where God used it. I didn't become a Christian for another 5 years, but that started to draw the connections that the Holy Spirit eventually just brought into fruit in life.
Yeah, other than Dynamics of Biblical Change by Dr. David Pallison. there are two. I took a course in college on existentialism, and that was a really, really wonderful class. We studied Sartre, Camus, a Catholic existentialist by the name of Gabriel Marcel, and one other I can't remember right now. And then when I was in seminary, I took a course called Religious Themes in American Literature, and we read about 10 novels in a semester, beginning with Hawthorne and Melville, all the way up to I did a project on Walker Percy, his novel, The Moviegoer. But just being able to, in that context, work with a theological worldview and engage culture and interact with it. I was an English major, so I just loved doing that with works that I had previously read.
This week's Ask the Counselor question actually goes like this. Does the counseling course also take care of the person that is taking it? I mean, do they also benefit from doing it in case they need counseling in their lives? Does it involve self-reflection and sorts?
When you think about what courses don't just pop out of the stratosphere. Courses answer questions. And I would say that every single one of the courses here, if the questions you are asking in your life are the ones that that course is designed to answer, any one of the courses could be tremendously meaningful personally. I bet we have had students from every single one of our courses, different students, say, that was the most meaningful course to me. And it really depends on what kinds of things are really burning issues for a person. There are several courses that are probably in a more specific sense are designed to what the questioner's asking, particular benefit in case they need counseling, or I'd rather rephrase that, for the counseling issues that all of us always need. The course that starts our curriculum, Dynamics of Biblical Change, has several self-counseling projects in it that's tailored that way. There's a course that called Essential Qualities of the Biblical Counselor that Monica Kim teaches that is particularly designed to foster self-examination. The Helping Relationships course gets you really thinking through how you treat people and whether the way you treat people is what Scripture says is how we ought to be treating people, that ends up being fruitful in their lives and ours. And really, you could go on and in some ways look at every course, and there is a strand to it that can change your life for the good.
Yeah, I think given the nature of our classes, being really in the genre of pastoral theology or theology applied, I mean, we're talking daily life, push and pull of people's struggles and sins and sufferings, and it's hard to really sit in on a course that we teach in our entire catalog of 15 to 18 classes and not be personally impacted by them. I've had, and I hear this from lots of folks, people actually begin weeping in class as they, hear something applied and it touches their life, or they begin to reflect on maybe a personal relationship where there needs to be reconciliation. I hear regularly when people take David's class, Dynamics of Biblical Change, it really is for many people the first time that they have heard and seen and observed and applied in a practical way what it looks like to be in a relationship with Christ and to actually address an area of their lives and change by God's grace. So you cannot walk away, I think, from any of our classes without being personally edified and strengthened. I think all the guys and gals on our faculty, people that teach, just bring that pastoral tone and heart to the way that we teach. And we regularly see students just being tremendously helped and impacted by them personally.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we have the benefit of coming to CCEF, taking the classes in person, is you have to interact with other students about the material. And when you also do it as a distance student, you're encouraged to interact with other students online. So that interaction is also part of the growth process, would you say?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Definitely.
You know, let me give an example. A course such as human physiology that Michael Emlett teaches might on the surface, how's that personal? But you think of how many people, probably in some way, every one of us, we approach the body in ways that are skewed, either largely, hugely skewed, or at least somewhat skewed. And you think of just to pick two extremes that where Mike's course could actually transform their world, the person who tends to view all problems as fundamentally physiological, which is the dominant fallback position in our culture, and to actually get an articulate, thoughtful grasp of the interplay between the active human heart and the body, which is a real force, that could just turn on lights that change the whole way you approach your own struggles or others. And on the other side, people who tend to super spiritualize and view everything as a quote spiritual problem, and don't recognize the fact that God works in human beings that He has created to be embodied, and that the curse and the blessings of God register in our bodies. God is not off in the stratosphere. He's the God of the way life really is. And so to develop a thoughtful, balanced perspective on human physiology is something which could change you as well as the whole way that you approach people.
Yeah, I think I just can think of numerous situations where after I've been teaching, there's a break or the end of class, a student comes up, and inevitably they begin to talk about a situation that they're facing. They're sometimes emotional, sometimes they're not, but very concerned about it. And there's an opportunity right there in the middle of the class while you're in a break or at the end of class to pray for that individual and offer
a little counseling prayer moment.
Yeah. So, that's really the joy of teaching the classes we do. I mean, they're not just theoretical. They really do track at the level of where people are living.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.